leaving now. It's in your eyes. There's no disguising it. It really comes as no surprise to find that you planned it all along. One thing I said that I would never do. A look from you and I would fall from grace, and that would wipe the smile right from my face. Do you remember when we used to dance, and incidents arose from circumstance? One thing led to another.
Hi, Carl. How are you?
I'm fine. Can you hear me?
I can hear you great.
Okay, I'm talking on cell phone in a car, so we'll just have to keep this nice and tight. Sorry about the delay on this one.
That's okay. We're talking with Carl Palmer. You all know him and love him from Emerson, Lake & Palmer and Asia. And I didn't realize that, actually, you traveled with the Crazy World of Arthur Brown. You weren't on their CD, but you actually did travel with them, huh?
I recorded with the band, yes, and I did all of their touring in the U.S. of A in 1968 when the single... Number one, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that song, Fire. It was a big hit. That was the only, I think that was their only hit in the United States.
That's correct.
Yeah. And Emerson, Lake & Palmer, of course, had a number of fine songs, and Asia was really a huge band as well. And yeah. you got your own stuff. In fact, I got a collection over here of Carl Palmer working live, different volumes.
Right, yes.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about what you're up to and about the tour
okay.
and all that stuff.
All right. Well, we're starting on the 24th of May. We go all the way through until July the 3rd. It's a three-piece band, guitar-driven. Lead guitar is Paul Bielatovich. Bass guitar is Stuart Clayton. I'm playing for about an hour 50 minutes, hour 55. We're playing about three original pieces by Emerson, Lake & Palmer, such as Tarkus, the first piece I wrote with Keith, a piece called Tank. There's another piece called Trilogy, and the title track, actually, I'm playing on that one.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest of the music is made up of classical adaptations, which I've had transposed from the keyboard part to guitar. We're playing things like Fanfare and Hoedown by the American composer Aaron Copland, which was also covered by Emerson, Lake & Palmer.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, they all sound completely different because of the guitar. Turned out really well. I've been running my band for the last 5 years in Europe. This is the very first trip to America. Obviously looking forward to doing it. Start at the end of this month.
We should tell folks that are listening that if you're in Canada, I know that Carl's band will be in Canada, in Hamilton, Ontario on the 24th, in Belleville on the 25th, Toronto on the 26th, Montreal on the 27th, and Sherbrooke on the 28th, and then he goes to Troy, New York to begin the United States tour on the 29th of May. And you get a big day off the next day after that, huh?
Yeah. Well, you know, basically this tour started off. I mean, I didn't know if it would work in America, but what happened was I decided to come over, give it a shot, see what would go down. It started off with 10 days we had. Then we had 2 weeks, and then it built up to 3 weeks, and as we sit here today, it's 5 weeks, 5.5 weeks, and 33 shows.
Are you going to be playing anything from Asia on the tour?
No, we're not. I'm actually going to play with the group Asia in the month of September here in America. We're going to be playing 4 or 5 concerts a week.
Oh,
we're
wow.
going to play the whole of the first album, and we'll play some music from our past. It's the original band, Steve Howe, Jeff Downs, John Wetton, and myself.
Wow, that's great. That's nice news for folks who are fans of Asia.
Yep.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about your background. I you were one of the top drummers in the world. Where did you start? How old were you? And how did you learn?
I started when I was 11. I come from quite a musical family. My grandfather is a professor of music at the Royal Academy. My father played piano. My brother played guitar. My great-great-grandmother was a Spanish guitar player. I had an uncle who also played drums. And I started when I was 11 on violin. We quickly switched over to drums. Seemed to be the instrument for me. It stayed like that for quite a while. I ended up going to the Royal Academy of Music. I went to the Guildhall, studied percussion, tuned percussion with Gilbert Webster and James Blades. My first group was a band called the King Bees. Prior to that, I'd only ever played in sort of orchestras like the Lawrence Welk Orchestra, right up until I was about 14. Turned professional when I was 15, joined a band called Chris Farlow and the Thunderbirds. Chris Farlow was a well-known soul singer in England, had a number one single written by Jagger Richards. That led me right up to the age of 18 when I joined the Crazy World of Arthur Brown, which we just talked about.
Right.
From that, I went to the Atomic Rooster, which is my first band I ever formed with Vincent Crane, with the late, great Vincent Crane. That ended up when I joined Keith and Greg, and that's history from there until we broke up in 78, started Asia in 81. That went for 2 or 3 years, and that finished up, and I went back to ELP 91. And that finished in 98, September the 2nd, and here I am now with my band.
You know, it's interesting when you look at Asia. They were one of the first, what do you call, supergroups, guys from Yes and King Crimson and the Buggles and Emerson, Lake and Palmer. It was a big thing at that time to have so many well-known individuals get together, and it was a huge success as well.
Yeah, I think that was due to the moment in time. Obviously, the music was good because people don't buy things unless it's good. But we were in at the sort of the birth of MTV, so there was an awful lot going for us, you know. So it was a great time. David Geffen, who formed the band, was a great help, and he guided us through, and we made the album, and that was it, and things were just fantastic.
It's interesting. I was looking at your bio to see if you guys or any of the groups you were in have been made it to the Hall of Fame yet, and I find in doing a little research that your 2.5-ton stainless steel drum set is in the Hall of Fame. Tell me a little bit about that.
No, it's not, unless Ringo Starr put it in, but it was given to Ringo Starr. Have you actually discovered that the drum set's in the Hall of Fame now?
It is in the Hall of Fame, and I guess it was purchased and donated by Ringo to the Hall of Fame. But you actually owned it originally, right?
I actually owned it originally because it was used with ELP. Where did you find that information out?
Somewhere on the web.
You mustn't believe everything you read on the web, because I believe it's still in England, in the house in Sunningdale, where the Ringo house is the original house, which was on the Imagine video, the white, when Lennon was playing the piano with Yoko Ono, all dressed in white, the song Imagine.
Yeah.
That house that the film was shot in became Ringo Starr's, and that's where I believe the drum set is. Now, he might have handed it over, but that's the first I've heard of that.
Well, here's what it says on the website here. Although none of the groups Palmer performed with are yet in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland, Palmer's 2.5-ton stainless steel drum is, after being purchased and donated by Ringo Starr.
Purchased and donated. Ah, brilliant. Well, okay, maybe he did that. Isn't that fantastic?
I would assume it's true, because the website I went to is one of the more reliable ones. So.
Thanks for that information, because, I knew Ringo didn't want to play it. He bought it for his son. I told him I didn't want it, and he was very keen on getting a hold of it. I didn't realize that he'd actually put it in the Hall of Fame.
I think he did that as a nice donation, and, of course, it reflects well on you since it was yours.
Yeah, and is that the one in Cleveland we're talking about?
The Cleveland, yes. Yeah, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland.
Fantastic.
Yep.
Oh, I'll have to look into that.
Now, folks around the country will be able to actually see the Kyle Palmer Band. It's going to be all over the place. And again, I mentioned New York, but May 31st, he'll be in the Regent Theater in Arlington, Massachusetts, which is close to Boston. June 1st in New Haven. June 2nd, Huntington, New York. June 3rd, Annapolis, Maryland. On the 4th, it's Glenside, Pennsylvania. On the 6th, New York, New York, at the B.B. King Blues Club. That should be a lot of fun, a nice intimate setting there. Alexandria, Virginia on the 7th, Pittsburgh on the 8th, Cleveland, Ohio on the 9th. And maybe while you're in Cleveland at Beach Lane Ballroom, you can check out the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah, well, I mean, I would definitely try and do that. That's fantastic. Thanks for that information.
You could get your drum set back. Say, hey, wait a second, that was mine.
Well, no, I mean, I... got rid of it purposely because it was became too heavy to move around, and I changed my configuration of drums. I went back to playing two bass drums, which I started in 68, and the drum set wasn't adaptable. It was a piece of art as it was, so I'm very happy it's in the Hall of Fame because that means a lot to me.
Well, I'm glad that we were able to give you that good news, and
thank
I
you.
Hope that the tour does really well. And when can we hear some new stuff from Carl Palmer?
Well, I've already got a DVD in the works, which is now completed. We're up and running with it. And I'm hoping to release a DVD of this my band, the Carl Palmer Band, which was recorded in Romania at the MTV Prog Rock Festival. So that's going to be coming out later this year. And the DVD that will be available will be pretty much the show you're going to see. So at least we'll have it on some footage now to let everyone look at. So that will just be called Carl Palmer Band in Concert.
Great. And tell us a little bit about your own thoughts on the digital age. I know things have changed so much in music. What do you think about the downloading and the ability for folks to kind of sell their own wares on the Internet as opposed to a few conglomerates controlling all the distribution of everything?
Yeah, I think all of that kind of stuff is very, very helpful. I think, you know, iTunes and all the various, you know, medias we've got, you know, for taking stuff off the web, for doing any of that. It's fantastic. It's just the legal side of things, making sure that you're getting paid. It all works. It's just not working well enough yet. Some of the things take too long. It's hard to promote on the web, you know, and get the right promotion when you go through various companies. But, yeah, listen, it all works. It's the way it's going. You can't stop it. It's rolling. The sooner the big conglomerates just realize that this is what it's going to be, they'll bring the price down of the hard copy CDs that you buy in music shops, which have always been too expensive. And, you know, we can just get on with getting the right distribution on all these various products and these new products and old catalogue, the back catalogue, and just keep it moving. I'm in favour of people being able to go to the web, find out where you're working, what you're doing, and load down a tune or two. There's nothing wrong with that. I think it's healthy, and I'm pleased that technology's gone that way.
I think it actually helps sell CDs as well. When people get a chance to taste what you have, they usually want to buy
yeah.
the rest.
Yeah, I think you have to realize that, you know, people are making up their own CDs of those tracks that they like, this and that. You're going to get that, you know, because people used to buy a CD and it might have 10 tracks on it and they only really want two songs. So I can understand, you know, why pay all that money for stuff you don't want to listen to when there's like three or four tracks you do? Why not buy just what you need? I understand that philosophy completely. The thing is this, the CDs were too expensive in the first place. So just bring everything down and people will still go into the shops and you'll still have a retail outlet going. You know?
I agree with you fully. You mentioned Asia was going to tour again in the fall. Is there any
yes.
plans to record any new stuff at all?
To tell you the truth, this is purely a nostalgic tour. We want to see how it goes. We think September is a great time for us to come out and do that. I would imagine we wouldn't think of recording any new material. As far as I'm concerned, I'd be happy to make a DVD of the show. I think that's where it is at the moment. If it goes past September and we all enjoy doing it, then obviously we can look at the larger picture. But right now, it's just us having a bit of fun, the original members going out and enjoying what we do.
I think it's great. I love the sound that you guys made together from the vocals to
thank
the
you.
Drumming, and I'm happy to hear that it's going to be back again. Again, yeah. the Carl Palmer Band is all over the place, and in fact, you can go to carlpalmer.com. The schedule's
yeah,
up there.
If they go there, yeah, please do that. www.carlpalmer.com and just check it out. All the dates are there. In actual fact, there's lots of stuff on there about different things, activities that I've been involved with, you know, from the educational side. I've got a company called Drum Clinics UK, and we specialize in teaching deaf children, blind children. I teach professional drummers as well. It's not a one-on-one situation. I do what they call a master class, where I have 20 to 30 people in the room with me, and then I do the obligatory sort of drum clinic, where basically I set my drums up, show off, show them all the tricks, and it can be anything from 150 to 200 people coming in. So there's lots of testimonials on the site. You know, there's lots of different things. It's good. I mean, it's well worth. That's when the net really works for people, because you can go in there and you can read all about it.
And the schedule's all the way, it's all up there too, which is great.
Absolutely. Yeah,
yeah,
we've got it on there.
Yeah. Well, Carl, it's a real pleasure to talk to you, and I want to wish
yeah.
you a lot of luck in the tour.
Yeah, thanks. And, you know, if I'm around, if you're around, please come and say hello. You know, just remind me that I've spoken to you. You know, I'd like to meet up and we'll talk some more.
All right. It was a pleasure talking to you, and hopefully we'll catch up in Boston.
Okay, fantastic.
Take
Thank
care.
You.
Bye-bye.